All right, we're holding on Chof Gimel, Amud Beis, a little bit above the middle of the wide lines. The line begins, the Shiva Vusan. Let's see, tenth line of the wide lines. We talked yesterday about Choni Ama'agel, the whole detailed story with him. We talked about Abba Chilkiyo, who was a grandson of his, who also was a tremendous tzaddik and had the ability to bring rain with his tefillos. So now another one. Chonon Hanechba, Chonon the one who would hide, and we'll see soon why he was called that. Bar Brate de Choni Ama'agel Hava, he was the son of Choni Ama'agel's daughter. So he and Abba Chilkiyo were cousins. Ki Mitzrich Almul Mitzrich, when the world needed rain, Hava Meshadri Rabbanon Yenuka Dvei Rav Legabei, then the Chachamim would send young children who learn in Cheder to him. The idea being, when he sees little kids coming to ask him, then that will make him feel more bad for them, and that way he'll have more kavana in his davening. So these kids would come, they would come and grab him by the hems of his garments, and they would tell him, Abba, Abba. They'd call him Abba, not because his real name was Abba, but just Rashi says, like a Yosem, like an orphan, who any adult that he sees, he calls Tati. So they're doing the same thing. Tati, Tati, Havlon Mitra, give us rain. Omol of Nechadish Baruch Hu, and Chonon would say to Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam, Asei b'Shvil Elu, She'en Makir, Mein Abba B'Yoyev Mitra, La'Abba D'Lo Yoyev Mitra. Do it, bring rain for the sake of these little kids that don't even know better, they don't know the difference between the father who is able to give rain, namely you, and the father who's not able to give rain, namely me. So they're thinking almost like I'm their father and I'm going to be able to bring rain. They don't realize that Hashem is the one who brings rain. And the Gemara says, "V'amai kori lechonan hanechba." So why was he called by that title? Because he would hide himself in the bathroom. So what does that mean? Rashi has two explanations and two girsos. The first explanation in Rashi is we don't have the word beveis hakisei there at all. So just that he shoyv mechabe, he used to hide himself, and in particular, Rashi says when he was davening for rain, he would hide himself. So it's not so obvious to everybody that he's davening for rain and it's coming in his chos. The second explanation in Rashi is that we have the Girsa Beis HaKisei, meaning that it tells us about a great mila of his, that when he would go to the bathroom, he would be very careful to be extra tzniyostik in the bathroom, which the Gemara mentions elsewhere is a great mila of a person. So showing, in other words, that he had a great degree of tzniyos. So Marsha seems to say that actually what it was is he would hide in the Beis HaKisei in order that they wouldn't find him there and ask him to daven for rain, but the kids would find him there and start pulling on his garments and so on and so forth. Ben Yoyada actually says maybe what it was supposed to be is maybe the Gemara meant to say the Beis HaKnesses, and they wrote as abbreviation Beis Beis Hei Chof, and then later copyists or printers accidentally thought that that stands for Beis HaKisei and expanded it to that. More about davening for rain. Omalir of Zvika Lor Sakra, Tochazi, come see Ma Ben Takifi de Aridi Stro, Lachsidi de Bobo. Come see the difference between the tough people in Eretz Yisrael, the strong, tough tzaddikim. For example, the tzaddikim who don't seem on the surface to be such chassidim, they don't seem to act Lefnim Meshoras Hadin, but come look at them and see how, after all, their tefillos are answered so quickly. Lachsidi de Bavel versus the tzaddikim who are known to be chassidim in Bavel, and we see that their tefillos are not answered so easily. Namely, chassidi de Bavel, Rav Huna and Rav Chista. So who are the chassidim of Bavel? Or, for example, Rav Huna and Rav Chista. And what would happen? You have a mitzrich almal mitzrah when the world needed rain. Amri, then they would say nichnif hadadi. Let's gather together the nivi rachmi, and we'll daven for rachmanos from Hashem. Efshe demirtzi hakadosh baruch hu diyesi mitzrah, and maybe this way Hashem will be willing to listen to our tefillos and bring rain. So we see, in other words, Rashi says that one of them by himself wouldn't have been enough. You need the two of them, and in fact, Hagoza Bach also adds that apparently the idea was also that they don't just do it, the two of them together. When they say lichnif, let's gather, that implies actually that they're going to be gathering together a minion. So they're saying, in other words, that any one of them individually, or even the two of them individually, wouldn't be enough to bring rain. On the other hand, Takisa Ya'arad Yisrael, on the other hand, where do we see the strong, tough tzaddikim of Eretz Yisrael? Because Rabbi Yonah avod Rabbi Mani. For example, Rabbi Yonah, the father of Rabbi Mani, he have a mitzrach amul mitra. So what would he do? So we'll see soon why we call him Takifei Eretz Yisrael. But for example, he have a mitzrach amul mitra when the world needed rain. Have a oil of base, he would go into his house, va'omalahu, and he would tell the pashas before that he had been in the Beis Medrash. So he would go home, he would va'omalahu, he would tell the members of his family, hovoli gualki, give me some sacks, va'ezol va'aisili v'zuzah ibura, and I'll go buy a zuzah's worth of grain. Now, given that there's a famine going on now, then a zuzah is not going to buy very much grain. But he would say, in other words, let me go and buy at least whatever is available. Now, the real reason he's taking along sacks is because he wants to use them for sackcloth, as we learned previously in the Masechta, that in the olden days they used to wear sackcloth while they were davening and fasting and whatever. Ki have a nafik labara, so then when he would go outside, also v'koyd v'duchta amikta, he would go stand in a deep place, in a valley, dichtiv mimamakim kosicha Hashem, in keeping with what the Pasuk says, from the depths I call out to you Hashem, v'koy v'duchta tzniya, within there he would stand in a hidden place, umikasi v'saka, he would cover himself with sackcloth, v'boi rachmi, and he would daven for rachmanas from Hashem, v'osi mitra, and rain would come. And when he came home, Amrilei, they would ask him, Aisi Mari Bura, did you bring home any grain? You said you were taking sacks in order to bring grain. Omalahu, and Rabbi Yonah could tell them, Amina, no, I didn't bother buying grain, because I figured, Hoyova Osa Mitra, now that rain came, Hashtad Rabach Alma, then things are going to get easier. Now prices are going to go down, so there's no sense buying now at the famine prices, which are inflated. I might as well wait a few days to buy grain until prices start going down, because now that people know that there's going to be more grain available in the future, the prices will go down even now. So we see that Rabbi Yonah wouldn't even tell his own family that he's going to daven, whereas Rabbi Huna and Rabbi Chista are telling each other that we need to gather together to daven, and of course Rabbi Yonah is able to accomplish it all on his own, versus Rabbi Huna and Rabbi Chista need at least each other, and maybe even a minion. Now there is a point. The Gura Sari does point out, we did have before in the story of Abba Chilkiah that we learned yesterday, where he told his wife that we're going to go daven. The difference is Ishtei Kegufay. So him telling her is not considered that he's telling other people. But we see that the tzaddikim of Eretz Yisrael were able to accomplish this all by themselves. So now let's see more, let's talk more about the greatness of Rabbi Yonah. The two, we have another example of the greatness of what a tzaddik Rabbi Yonah was, and how much he was able to accomplish even after he had passed away. We don't really actually explicitly have in the Gemara over here necessarily so explicitly that these people are takifim, that they're strong. We see the fact that their tefillahs have strength. But for example, it mentions about Takifi de Eretz Yisrael elsewhere in the Gemara in Megillah. Rashi explains over there that an example of Takifi de Eretz Yisrael is Rish Lakish, where we learned back in Yuma that he was very careful who he spoke with. He was very careful and very selective who he would speak with in the street, as opposed to the Tamanach Chacham in Bavel, where we don't find such a hanhoga by them. So we're saying that even though, and you would think they were such takifim, they're so picky about who they talk with, it shows maybe like, doesn't it maybe superficially show a lack of Avas Yisrael or something? The Gemara actually explains that Rish Lakish had a reason for it, because people would then trust those people, and he doesn't want people to assume that somebody is trustworthy unless they know for sure that that's the case. Whatever the case, the point is that nevertheless, these tzaddikim have a much greater ability to bring rain than the tzaddikim above El do. So the Gemara continues with two. Also, here's another story. Rab Mani Brei, Rab Mani, the son of Rab Yonah, Havukam Mitzari Le Debe Nesia, people of the Nasi's family, or the Nasi's servants, or whatever, were bothering him. Ishtatach Al Kivra Davua. So Rab Mani went and then prostrated himself and went to Davin by the grave of his father, Rab Yonah. Omale, he says, Abba, Abba, Hani Mitzaruli, he says, Tati, Tati, these people are bothering me. So, what happened? How was his tefillah answered? Yoimachad Habakkuk Chalfi Hosam. One day, those people who were harassing him from the family of the Nasi, one time were passing by while they were riding on horses. Inkut Kara de Susvasaihu. The legs of their horses got stuck in the ground and they couldn't move them. Rabbi Yonah, after Rabbi Yonah had passed away, he's still having an effect in this world and preventing them from moving. Ad kabilu alayu deloy komitzarulei, until they accepted on themselves that they're not going to bother Rabbi Mani, the son of Rabbi Yonah, anymore. So again, we see from that the tremendous power that Rabbi Yonah had. So we see he had the power when he was alive to daven for rain, and even after he had passed away, he still had the power to save his son from this harassment in this derech nest like this. The two, and here is another story involving the tzaddikim of Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Mani, the same Rabbi Mani, have a shchiach kameid Rabbi Yitzchok ben Yoshev. He was regularly in front of Rabbi Yitzchok ben Yoshev. He would regularly learn by him. Omale, and one day Ramani says to his Rebbe, Rabbi Yitzchok ben Yoshev, Asiri dvei chomi kometzarili. The rich people of my father-in-law's household are being mitzari me. They're bothering me. They're being overbearing against me. They're whatever. So can you do something about it? So Omar, so Rabbi Yitzchok Davin, he said, okay, Lianu, let them become poor. That way they won't be proud and overbearing over you or over anybody else. Sure enough, the Ianu, and they became poor. But later on, Ramani said, now I have the opposite problem, Kodokuli. Now what's happening is that these people of my father-in-law's household, my in-laws, who used to be rich, now they're poor, and now they're bugging me to help them with Parnassah because they're poor. Omar, so Rabbi Yitzchok answered, okay, Liatru, let them become rich, and sure enough, Liatru, and they became rich again. So we see what power Rabbi Yitzchok ben Yoshev had with his tefillas. And another time, Rabbi Mani said to Rabbi Yitzchok ben Yoshev, as it ever, when the kabli olai inshi besi, the members of my household, meaning my wife, is not mekubal on me, is not so acceptable to me, meaning Rashi says she's not beautiful. So therefore, like, he doesn't feel like he's able to have such love for her. You would say, I mean, that's a tzaddik, like a mani is going to care about that, but we see from the Gemara yesterday involving Abba Chilkia, just the opposite. Kol ha-godol mechaveri, yitzra godol ha-menu, the greater a person, the greater his yetzahara. So yes, so for a mani, it's important that his wife should be attractive and should appeal to him, and right now she's not. With that said, there is an explanation that we're talking about. There is an explanation from the Sefer Mechir Yayin, which is a Sefer from the Ramah, who says that we're talking on a ruchniistic level, that she had bad midas or whatever. Anyway, Omalei, so Rabbi Yitzchok ben Yoshev asks him, Mashma, what's her name, so I can daven for her? Why does he need her name now and he didn't need her name before? So one reason is because before we were talking about men and he knew their names. Here we're talking about Ramani's wife's name, and he has no way of knowing her name without Ramani telling him. Okay, so he says her name is Chana. So fine, Rabbi Yitzchok Davin, Tisyapi Chana, let Chana become beautiful. And sure enough, Benisyapis, and she became beautiful. Later on, again, he had the same problem. Omalei, Ramani came back to Rabbi Yitzchok. He said, "Komigandera alai." Now she's priding herself over me. Migandera, actually says, means miskadela salai. She's like holding herself higher than me. Omalei, so Rabbi Yitzchok said, "Okay, ihachi, if so, tachzuchana l'shachrurisa. Let Chana return to her dark skinness, in other words, to the same unattractiveness that she was before. And Chazra Chana l'shachrurisa, and she went back to the appearance that she was before." But then Yoda does have an explanation. We're not literally talking about like all of a sudden her facial features changed or something. That would be a nes shaloi kader hateva. We're not going to expect that. It means that before she had like various sores and wounds on her face, and then he davened that they should go away, and now they came back. So the Gemara continues, Hanu Tre Talmidi, it once happened that there were two Talmidim to have a Kameh de Rabbi Yitzchok ben Yoshev, who were learning in front of Rabbi Yitzchok ben Yoshev. Omru Lei, so they said, they asked their Rebbe, Rabbi Yitzchok ben Yoshev, Niboi Ma Rachni Alon de Nechkim Tova. Rebbe, please daven for Rachmanus for us, that we should become wiser, that we should become greater and wiser in Torah. Omru Lehu, but Rabbi Yitzchok ben Yoshev says, I can't.
Imi hoyo ushlachtila. I had this with me, and I sent it away. Which means, Rashi says, I used to have this ability that whatever I davened for, Hashem would grant, as we just had in the previous stories. Now my tefillah is not really so accepted. Now why would Rashi now why would he be saying that? So Hagoyis Habach actually says that what it is Rabbi Yitzchok is not really saying that he lost this ability. Adrava, why should he lose this ability when he gets older? The older a Talmud Chacham gets, the greater he becomes. What it is Rabbi Yitzchok ben Yoshev himself did not want to keep on being Matriya Hashem with these kinds of requests. Maybe also, in fact, we see that with these last two, we see that eventually it backfired with the one about Ramani's relatives and about Ramani's in-laws and about Ramani's wife. So therefore, maybe now he wants to be more careful. And so he's telling them, I don't have this ability anymore, meaning that he accepted on himself that from now on, he's not going to be asking Hashem for such things and being Matriach Hashem to be doing things that are higher than Teva. Even if we say, okay, like with the explanation about Ramani's wife, that it's not really completely beyond Teva. We're just talking about that the wounds on her face should heal or that they should come back. But still, he figured this is already being Matriach Hashem too much to ask for something and then to ask for it to be rescinded, etc. So now he didn't want to do that for these Talmidim. The point being, in other words, that we see from these various stories the greatness of the tzaddikim of Eretz Yisrael, Ramani and his Rebbe Rabbi Yoshev, Ramani, his father Rabbi Yonah, and his Rebbe Rabbi Yitzchok ben Yoshev. Another story, Rabbi Yosi bar Oven have a shchiach kamed Rabbi Yosi min Yukras. Rabbi Yosi bar Oven used to regularly learn Torah by Rabbi Yosi from Yukras. Shavke, but then he left his yeshiva, but also the Kamei Rav Ashi, and he came to learn by Rav Ashi instead. Yom Echad, one day, Shamei, he heard him. Now, there's two different versions in Rashi. One is that one day Rav Ashi heard Rav Yosi bar Oven, who was his Talmud, saying such and such, the din that we're going to say. The other explanation Rashi says is that one day Rav Yosi bar Oven heard Rav Ashi saying a certain din. Anyway, what was the din? Shamei dekagoris, he heard that he was learning the following din. Omar Shmuel, hashoyla dog minayam b'shabas, if a person pulls out a fish from the water on Shabbos, kiven sheyabash b'kasela, so even before the fish is completely dead, once an area the size of a cella on the fish is dry, chayev, then he's already chayev for netilas neshama, which is part of the av malacha of shofet. Now Rashi does mention the point that we're not dealing with the malacha that he trapped the fish, because we could be talking about, Rashi says, let's say for example the fish was inside a container inside the water before Shabbos, so therefore tzeda is not an issue. You only have an issue over here of the malacha of shechet. So the point is, you shouldn't think that only when the fish is completely dead is he at that point chayav for the malacha. No, once the cella's area dries out, then he's chayev, and even if Rashi and Tosfos both point out, the point would be, even if at that point he threw the fish back into the water, nevertheless he's still chayev for a malacha of Shabbos. Because once that area of the fish already dried up, then already it's not going to be able to live, it's not going to be able to live for very long. So that was the din. Amalei, so Rabbi Yosi bar Oven asked Rav Ashi, that's according to the first version, Rabbi Yosi bar Oven is saying it, and Rav Ashi asks him, and then Rav Ashi asks him. According to the second view, saying Rashi, you would have that there's one of the Amaleis in the Gemara is missing over here. So anyway, Amalei v'leima ma ben snapirov. So he says, why don't you also add that this detail that we're saying over here about Shmuel's did, about when a cellar's area is dry, it means davka, if that area is ben snapirov, is between the fins of the fish. Because in other words, if you have a different part that's dry, that amount, then it doesn't matter so much, then the fish is not necessarily going to die of that. So therefore you could still throw back the fish in the water and you wouldn't be chayav for a malacha. So why don't you mention that detail? So Amalei, sort of Ashi answers Rabbi Yosi bar Oven, V'loy Sovala Mar Dahi Rabbi Yosi ben Rav Oven Amra. Don't you know that Rabbi Yosi ben Rav Oven said? He didn't know that the Talmud in front of him now is the very same Rabbi Yosi ben Rav Oven. So don't you know that Rabbi Yossi ben Rabbi Oven said that detail about Ben Snapirov? So why are you just saying it as though it was an anonymous statement of Amiroyim? Why don't you say it b'shem Omri and be bringing Geula l'Olam? So again, according to Rashi's first explanation, Rabbi Yossi ben Oven was saying the original statement, and then he says. So, and he adds the detail Ben Snapirov. So then Rav Ashi is asking him, so why don't you mention that detail was said by Rav Yossi ben Rabbi? According to the second explanation in Rashi, which fits better with the Gusa that we have here in the Gemara, is Rav Ashi was saying the din, Rav Yossi ben Rabbi added the detail, you know, it has to be Ben Snapirov, and Rav Ashi says, so why don't you say that detail in the name of Rav Yossi ben Rabbi? Omolei, I'm not new, so Rabbi Yossi ben Oven says, because that's me. I don't have to say it over in my own name. Omolei, so Rabbi Ashi asks him, Balav kameid Rabbi Yossi de Minyukris have a shriach mar? Didn't you, Rabbi Yossi ben Oven, used to learn by Rabbi Yossi de Minyukris? Why'd you come to me? Omolei hein, and he says, sure, and he says, yes. Omolei, so Rabbi Ashi asks him, my time a shavkin mar v'osafafa? So why did you leave Rabbi Yossi ben Yukris? Why did you leave? Rabbi Yossi de Minyukris, and come learn by me. Usually a person should stay by the Rebbe that he learned from until now. Amalei, so Rabbi Yossi ben Oven answers him, Gavra d'al breva brate lechos, when I have a person like Rabbi Yossi de Minyukris, who did not have Rachmanus on his own son and on his own daughter, Didi, hechichayis, how can I expect he's going to have Rachmanus on me? In other words, he's too much in Kavagvura for me to be able to learn, to be able to learn by him. We see from the following stories that he was very strict, that he was very strict when it came to his son and to a story involving his son and a story involving his daughter. So, Bray Maihi, what's the story where we see that Rabbi Yossi de Minyukris was very strict about a situation involving his son? So like this, Yoy Mechad Havo Agrile Agiri V'Dabra, one day, Rabbi Yossi de Minyukris, Rabbi Yossi Oven's former Rebbe, one time he had workers who had been hired to work for him in the fields, Nogalahu, it was getting late in the day, the loy isilahu rifka. He hadn't yet brought them bread. And usually the rule is when you hire workers, it's usually understood as part of the employment contract that he's going to supply them with food. Omrule lebre kafinan. So they said to Rabbi Yossi de Minyukris' son, we're hungry. What should we do? Havu yasvi tusi to enter. So now they were sitting at that time under a fig tree, which had not yet produced fruit. Omar, so the son says, the son speaks to the fig tree, te'ena hetzi pedesayich, give out your fruit, v'yochlo poyele abba, and let my father's workers be able to eat. Now this was out of season, so it was a mess. Apiku v'ochlo, sure enough, the tree produced fruit, and the workers were able to eat. Adahochi v'ochi osabua, meanwhile, as they were eating, the father came, Rabbi Yossi de Minyukris, Omalahu, and he says to the workers, Loi tinkitu b'dataychu, don't hold it in your mind against me. In other words, don't hold it against me that I was late. I'm sorry that I'm late. Dahai denagana am mitzvah tarachna. The reason why I'm late is because I was busy with something involving a mitzvah. V'adahashtahu disagoi, and this was the earliest I could get here. Omrulei, so the workers said, don't worry about it. Rachmana lispach ki hechi de'asbar brach. Hashem should satisfy you the way that your son satisfied us. So therefore, in other words, you don't need to worry about it. We already had what to eat. Marshall says that actually they figured that the fig tree did so that there was such a mess that the fig tree produced fruit when it wasn't even the season. It must have been in the schus of Rabbi Yossi himself, especially because he had just told them that he was oisik in a mitzvah. That's why they gave him a bracha. Amalahu mehecha, so he asked them, what do you mean? Where'd my son have food to give you? Amru hochi v'hochi havimaisa. So they told him this was the story, that your son told the fig tree to give fruit. So Rabbi Yossi de Minyukris took it very severely. He says, Bni, after he trachtas koincha lohoitzi te'ena peruseh shalev izmana. You were matriya Hashem, so to speak. Of course, not tircha for Hashem, but still, that should go against Zerach HaTeva, is in a way like being matriya Hashem. So you caused Hashem that the fig tree should give fruit out of season, which you're not really supposed to do. He, meaning you, should pass away before his time. So in other words, he's being very severe and very strict with his son, that because his son used the ability to make a nest like that, so Rabbi Yossi is saying that he should pass away young. Now, Mephoshim do point out that it doesn't have to be, the Iyun Yaakov on Ein Yaakov points out, we don't have to say that the son passed away right there on the spot. It would be enough if, you know, at some later point, he didn't live as long as he was expected to. But nevertheless, the fact that Rabbi Yossi could say such a thing shows that he's being very strict and very severe. So this is one of the things Rabbi Yossi Rebbe Oven says, is I would have a hard time being a Talmud of such a Rebbe who's going to be so severe on things. Brate Maihi, what's the story with Rabbi Yossi Dimenyukras' daughter? So Havile Brata Balas Yossi, he had a daughter who was very beautiful. Yoimachad Chazilahu Gavra. One time, Rabbi Yossi Dimenyukras saw a certain man to have a kaya behutza. He was trying to dig a hole through the fence, through a wooden fence, in order to look at the daughter. Omalei Maihi, so Rabbi Yossi says, what do you think you're doing? Omalei, so the man answers, Rebbe, im leloik chaloi zachisi. Fine, I may not have the schus to marry such a beautiful girl, shouldn't I at least have the schus to see her, to see her beauty? But Rabbi Yossi again took that very, 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 very strongly and very harshly. Omaloi turns to his daughter and he says, Biti, my daughter, you're so beautiful. Come tzaras lehula b'riyasa, you're causing people tzar. You're causing people tzar that people are doing like this. People are taking desperate measures to be able to see you. And after all, it's an iser. So he says, Shuvi la'afrach, return to your dust. In other words, pass away by your kosh lebich b'nei adam, that people shouldn't be nichshel in you. Which is, after all, I mean, that's going a little too far. At most, what he could have done is he could have said, like in the story of Rabbi Yitzchak and Rabbi Yashem before, that she should lose her beauty. So now Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Ovin is saying, and in fact, Hagoyes Habach adds the words, v'chein hava, and so it was, meaning that she passed away shortly after that. So now Rabbi Yossi Rebbe Oven is saying, fine, Rabbi Yossi Dimenyukras is obviously a great tzaddik, that what he says comes true right away. Nevertheless, I can't be a Talmud of such a Rebbe. There is an interesting point that the Ramami Fano, the author of Asara Ma'amores, brings in one of his Sforum about Gugul and Neshamas. He says that Rabbi Yossi Dimenyukras here was a Gilgul of Elisha, and we find that Elisha was very harsh when it came to, you have the story of the Na'orim that were, of the young men that were cursing him, and he were making fun of him rather, and he cursed them in Hashem's name, and then when the bears came and killed 42 of them, which the Gemara elsewhere talks about was inappropriate, it was inappropriately strict of him also, and for that reason later on he himself was sick for a while. So Rabbi Yossi Dimenyukras then, the Ramami Fano says, was a Gilgul of Elisha, and the two children over here, the son and the daughter, were the Gilgulim of Amnon and Tamar, where the first time around, in their first Gilgul, as the children of David, they had terrible tragedies happen to them, and now also, we're saying that terrible tragedies happened to them. So there's that connection. Nevertheless, so again, Rabbi Yossi Rebbe Oven is saying, very nice, you know, he may be a Gilgul of Elisha, but whatever, I can't be a Talmud of such a Rebbe. So the Gemara tells another story, though, to tell us about the greatness of Rabbi Yossi Dimenyukras. After all, we shouldn't think, after those previous stories, we shouldn't think less of him. So the Gemara gives another story to show what a great tzaddik he was. Havilei hahi chamora, he had a donkey. Kidahavu Agrila, when people would rent that donkey to use for the day, Kol Yoima, so every evening, La'ur to have a Mashadrila Agra Agava, they would send the money for the rental home on the back of the donkey, Va'asila Be'mara, and it would go straight home, and that way Rabbi Yossi would be able to take the money. The Itofula, a Batsrila, if they put any more or any less money than they were supposed to, loy asya, then the animal would not go. So like instinctively, Rabbi Yossi himself, in other words, was such a tzaddik, who's medaptic to the utmost degree, that he shouldn't be cheating anybody and that they shouldn't be cheating him. So his donkey, so that rubbed off kind of on his donkey as well, that it also instinctively knows when there's enough payment versus not. So yoimachad inshu zuga de sandli Allah. So one day somebody forgot a pair of sandals on top of the donkey. V'loy Ozla, and the donkey wouldn't move ad the shakluramina until they removed them, because the sandals don't belong to Rabbi Yossi, they belong to this person. But Hodor Ozla, and only then did it start going. So we see, in other words, that Rabbi Yossi's donkey was a little bit like Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair's donkey, that it's on a higher level than regular donkeys, and it's able to sense such things. Okay. Another story about another one of the Chachamim, El Ozer Ish Birta, that was a name. So some of them, of course, say that actually he might be the same. We have in Pirkei Avos, we have Rabbi Elazar Ish Bar Toisa. So this El Ozer Ish Birta might be the same one. And just in other words, this story that we're going to tell now happened before he got Smicha. On the other hand, maybe not necessarily. Anyway, Kad Habu Chozile Gaboy Tzedakah, when the Gaboy Tzedakah, who are going around to collect Tzedakah, when they would see this El Ozer Ish Birta, Habu Toshu Minei, they would hide from him. Usually it would be the other way around. You try to hide from the tzedakah collectors. Here it was the other way around. The tzedakah collectors would hide from him. And the reason is, the chomai, to have a gadeh, yoyvlu, because whatever he had, he would give them. So like they felt bad. He doesn't have any money for his own family. But yoymachad have a solik l'shukah l'mizban nedunya l'brate. One day, this Elazar Ish Birta was going to the marketplace to go and buy something for Nadan for his daughter's wedding. Chazyu Gaboy Tzedakah, so the Gaboy Tzedakah, who were also going around in the marketplace to collect Tzedakah, they saw him, and as usual, Toshuminei, they tried to hide from him, but Ozol Rahaf Basrayu, he went and ran after them, Omalahu, and he tells them, Ashbi Isichu, I'm beswearing you, but my Askisu, I want you to tell me the truth, what are you collecting for right now? What kind of Tzedakah? Omrulay, so they told him, be Yosim, be Yosoma. Right now, we're collecting money for the wedding of a Yosim and a Yosoma. Omrulahen, so Elazar tells them, ha'avoida, I swear by the avoida of the Bes Mikdash, shehen koidmin leviti, that what they need comes ahead of what my daughter needs. In other words, the pashtus is because my daughter has a father, after all, and has a father and a mother, as we're going to see in the story. So she has who can take care of her. She doesn't have her nadin right now. Fine, she'll have it in the near future, as opposed to this Yosim and Yosema don't have anybody to do anything for them. So Shoko called the Hava Bahadeh. He took all the money that he had, but Yoavlahu, and he gave it to them. Poshle Chad Zuza, with the exception of he had one Zuz left that the Gaboritz Doka said they didn't need. By the way, you get into the question, what happens to Hamavazvez, Avivazvez, Yosef Chomesh? What happened to you? You're not supposed to give more than 20% of your money to Tzedakah. So in fact, one explanation is that he lived before the Chachamim made this Takana. This was a Takana that was made in Usha by the Chachamim a few decades after the Churban. So he might have been before that. Another possibility is he may have held the Gvura Sari says, that he held like Rabbi Eliezer, who doesn't hold the Takanas Osha anyway. And another possibility is there are some poskim who say that maybe when they're collecting for a specific defined purpose like this, where they're collecting for the wedding of a Yosem and Yosema, then you're allowed to give even more than that. Whatever the case, he gave almost all his money away. All he had left was one zuz. So with that one zuz, Zoban Lechiti, he went and bought a zuz's worth of wheat. Figuring, in other words, that he can use that as the beginning of the Nadin, which means Ben Yehoyada said he had tremendous betochen in Hashem. That fine, I'll get. Not even the wedding won't even be for the Nadin. The wedding will be toward the Suda for the wedding. And he had betochen that Hashem will arrange that he'll get other money for the Nadin. Anyway, so he took this one zuz of wheat, he bought wheat with it, ba'asik shadi ba'achlava, and he went and put it into the granary, where you store your grain. Asoy devesu, later on, Elazar's wife came, omrala brate mai aisyabuch, so she asks her daughter, what did your father bring home? He went to buy something for your nadin, so what did he bring? Omrullah, so the daughter says, I don't know. Koma da'isi ba'achlava shadisei. Whatever he brought home, he put into the granary. So let's go look there. So, asked the miftach bava da'achlava. So the wife went to open up the door of the granary. Chazas achlava d'mal yachiti. She saw that the granary was full of grain, of wheat. A nes had happened. That one zuz of wheat had grown into so much more. So much that some of the wheat was some of the grain was leaking out of the hinge door hinge hole of the door. Doors in those times had hinges on top and bottom that went into one into a hole in the ground and the other one into a hole in the lintel of the door. So here, there was so much grain inside the granary that it was leaking out through the hole over there where normally the hinge would go. Well, like miftach bava mechiti, and they couldn't open the door because there's so much weed in there. So a neset happened. Ozba bratya the ben medrasha. So the daughter went to the base medrash. Omrele, and she says to her father, boyere ma also v'cha'eyavcha. Come see what your beloved one Hashem did for you, such a nes. Omallah, but he says to her, ha'avoda, I swear by the avoda, harehen kehektish alayich, that grain is considered like hektish to you, in other words, also v'hanah, because you're not supposed to have hanah from mice and nisim. You're not supposed to have hanah from mice and nisim. Rashi brings from what we had a few days ago in the Gemara that if a nes is done for a person, minakim lo mitzchuyosav, then it's subtracted from a schus in Olam Haba, so he didn't want that. So it's considered hektish to you. If this was after the Churban, then it means instead of hektish, it means daka for the poor people. You can have a portion in it equivalent only to what any other poor person among the Jewish people has. So one explanation is that fine, you know, whatever he needs in order to marry her off, like a poor person would, that she's entitled to, that she could take, that wouldn't be considered enjoying from mice and nisim because they really need it. On the other hand, maybe what it means is he's telling her that she can only have the original one zuz worth of wheat because there's no nest in that, of course, that was the original amount that he bought. So that was digressing a little bit to tell various stories of tzaddikim that had tremendous nisim happen for them. Going back to the main topic now, we were talking that the subject of this parak is davening for rain. So the Gemara tells a few stories about that. Rabbi Yehuda Nesia Gozer Tanisa, Rabbi Yehuda Nesia, this is the grandson of Rebbe, Gozer Tanisa, he one time declared a fast because there was no rain. He's davening for Rachmanos Mashem, Beloy Osimitra, and rain is not coming. Omar, so he says, look at this. Kama ikum Shmuel Haramasi v'Yehuda ben Gamliel. Look what a descent there's been. Look what a difference there's been between Shmuel Haramasi, Shmuel Hanavi, and Yehuda ben Gamliel, meaning himself. We find that Shmuel was able to daven for rain to fall. We had at the end of the first parak, we quoted the pasuk over there where Shmuel says that I'm going to ask Hashem that rain should fall now, even though it's the harvest season and it's not normally the time for rain. So that you'll see that Hashem is very displeased with you for asking for a king. So we see that he all by himself is able to accomplish rain should fall, and it wasn't even in season. Whereas me, the whole Jewish people are asking me to daven for them, and I'm davening, and nothing's happening. So he says, "Oylo the dersha came nitka. Woe to the person, woe to the generation that got stuck with such a nasi, who doesn't have the schos to have his tefillas answered." Different explanation is nitka means appointed. So okay, woe to the generation over whom there was appointed such a nasi. Oylo the misha also the yom of kach. Woe to a person who such things happen in his times, meaning to the nasi who such things happen in his times that his tefillah doesn't get answered. Cholash daite. So as a result of that statement, Rabbi Yehuda Nesia himself felt bad. It made him feel much more humble and feel much more bad, realizing what a low level he's on compared to where he should be. Va'asamitra, and then rain came in the source of that. Similarly, another story, well, not really similarly, but another story involving the Nasi, Debei Nesia Gozer Tanisa, the household of the Nasi one time declared a fast for a lack of rain. It's an interesting point, by the way, that before we named the Nasi, we said Rav Yehuda Nesia, now we're just saying Debei Nesia. From various sources, it comes out that there were periods after Rav Yehuda Nesia, the Nesiim were on a much lower level. Some of them were they were all Talmid Chachamim, but definitely not of the caliber that they had been before. So now maybe for that reason the Gemara names Rabbi Yehuda Nesia, but this one it just says Debei Nesia without actually naming them. Anyway, so he declared a fast day one time because there was no rain. But they didn't inform Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish ahead of time that the next day is going to be a fast day. Only in the morning did they inform them. Omale Rish Lakish Rav Yechanan. So Rish Lakish asked Rav Yechanan, why should we be fasting? Hola kabil na'alon me'urja. We didn't accept the fast on ourselves from the evening before. We learned previously in the first parak on Daf Yud Beis, we talk about when you have to accept the fast for it to be valid. Mincha before the fast day, or any time during the afternoon. We had a machlokas Rav and Shmuel. So should we even have to fast at all? Or, okay, the Gvura Sari says, okay, we know we have to fast because we're among other people who are fasting. The question is really, do we say Anenu or not? Because after all, we didn't accept the fast on ourselves. Also, the Gvura Sari says another possibility. Listen, if Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish weren't informed, probably neither was anybody else. So therefore, maybe we shouldn't have to fast. Most of the people are not fasting. Amalei, so Rabbi Yechanan answers him, no, we do have to fast and we do have to say Anenu. Anan Basrayu Garirinan. We have to follow what the Nasi's household does, since they declared a fast, and they already were Makabalit, so it's as if we were already Makabalit, and therefore we have to fast. Okay. Another case, Dibei Nasiya Gazatan Nisa V'Lo'osam Mitra, another time, the household of the Nasi declared a fast day, but rain didn't come, even after their davening. Tonalahu Oshia Ze'era de Min Chavraya. So Oshia, who was the youngest of the Talmidim in the Yeshiva, meaning Rashi says there was another Oshia who was a Talmud in the Yeshiva, who was older, and this particular Oshia that we're saying over here was the youngest of the Talmidim, and therefore they called him Ze'era de Min Chavraya. He said, he taught them a brisa as a thing of Musar. The pasuk says, "Vahoya im me'ena eda nesta l'shgaga." It will be that if an avera was done by mistake against the eyes of the eda, meaning if the eyes of the eda, the Sanhedrin, the Nesiim, the Sanhedrin, made a mistake in halacha and the people followed them. So why are we calling the Sanhedrin eneha eda? Mashal lakala she beveis avia. It's like a mashal of a kala when she's still in her father's house before she's married. Calls man she eneha yafas. As long as her eyes are beautiful, enko gufa tzarech bedika, you don't need to check the rest of her body because you can assume the rest of her is beautiful as well. But eneha trutos. But if her eyes are trutos, which are the various possibilities, it can mean her eyes are weak, it can mean her eyes are misshapen, whatever it is. So then kol gufa tzarech bedika, then you need to check out her whole body. So the nimshol is that the Nesiim, the leaders of the Jewish people, are like the eyes. So therefore, in other words, if they're no good, then it means that we have to be concerned that the people are not so good either. In other words, he's saying that you members of the Nasi's family, you're the Eneha Eda, apparently you're not where you should be, so therefore everybody else needs to also start checking into their own Maisin, because so Rashi says, in other words, since the Hanu Debe Nasio, the Eneha Eda, are Rishoyim, then the regular people have to also start checking what they're doing, because obviously there's tremendous Averus over here, and therefore there's no rain coming. So the people of the Nasi's family were very offended by that. Also Avde, so the Nasi's servants came, the Romale Sudar Ritzavre, they put a scarf around Zaira's neck, the Kamatsarule, and they were harassing him, maybe like pretending like they're gonna pull it tight and choke him, whatever it is. Omrule Bnei Mase, but the people of Oshia Zaira's Demin Chavraya's town told them, Shabke, leave him alone. Dahon Nami Mitzarilon. We also have all the time he harasses us, and he's always telling us Musa, and he's always putting us down and telling us that we need to do Shabbat. But Kivin de Chazin and called Mila Lashum Shamayim, once we saw that he's doing it all Lashem Shamayim, Loy Amri Loy Midi, then we didn't say anything to him. We realized that he's doing it Lashem Shamayim, and we shouldn't be offended by it. The Shabkin and Lay, and we also left him alone. Atum Nami Shabkuhu, you also, servants of the Nasi, you should also realize that he's saying, Lashem Shemayim, he's not doing it in order to put you down or in order to hold himself higher than you or whatever. He's doing it really Lashem Shemayim, so leave him alone and listen to what he has to say. Okay. more stories. Rebbe Gozatan Nisav Loi Osim Mitra. Rebbe one time declared a tainis and rain didn't come. Nochis Kame Ilfa. So Ilfa went to daven by the Omud in front of him. This is Bapashus, the same Ilfa that we had the story a few days ago involving him and Rabbi Yechanan. Va'amila Rebbe Ilfai. Another version is that it wasn't Ilfa, but rather Rebbe Ilfai. Anyway, Oma Masha Baruch, as soon as the Chazan said the words Masha Baruch, v'nosha zika, right away the wind started blowing, and Morid HaGeshem, v'osam mitra, as soon as he said Morid HaGeshem, it started raining. Oma Le'mai Uvdoch, Rebbe asks Ilfa or Rebbe Ilfai, what tremendous schusim, what do you do special that you have the schus that your tefillah is answered right away? Oma Le, so Ilfa or Rebbe Ilfai tells him, Dayuna Bakusta Dechika. I live in a little town where people have a hard time, where people have a hard time making a living. People are very poor over there. Deles Bechamra Kiddush of Avdalta. There's no wine there for Kiddush or for Avdalta. Tarachna. So I go to the trouble. Vaasina Chamra Kiddush of Avdalta. I go bring wine for Kiddush and Avdalta. Umapiknala who Yedechai Vasayu. And that way I'm motzi them with Kiddush and Avdalta. So in the schus of that, Hashem answered his tefillas right away and rain came. Another example, Rav Iklalahu Aster, Rav one time visited a certain place, Gozatan Nisav Loi Osim Mitra, he also declared a fast because there was no rain, but rain wasn't coming. Nachas Kamei Shlicha de Tzibura, a Shliach Tzibur went to Davin by the Omud, Omer Masha Baruch B'Nashav Zika, Omer Mori Dageshem V'Osim Mitra, he also had the schus that his tefillahs were answered right away. Omer Le'mai Uvdach, so Rav tells him, what special things do you do? Omalei, so the guy tells him, Mikri Daudikiano, I'm a Malamed of little children. So first of all, Umakrina Lebne Amie Kibne Asiri, I teach the sons of the children of the poor, just like the sons of the rich. I don't show any favoritism to the richer kids. And Vacholdala Efshalay Lashakilnamine Midi, anybody who can't afford the tuition, I don't charge them anything. And the Isli paid the Kabri. Not only that, I have a ditch or a lake or whatever, a pond where I have fish, which in fact Rabbeinu Hananel says he got it, his parnosa, his regular parnosa was not from teaching, his regular parnosa or his secondary parnosa, whatever, was from selling these fish. But v'choman de posha, when a kid is misbehaving and doesn't want to learn, meshachdino leminayhu, I bribe him with the fish, or mesadrino le, I fix up things with him, or mefaisin le, and I get him, I appease him, I get him back in a good mood by talking to him and by bribing him with the fish, ad the osi v'kari, until he comes back and is willing to learn properly. So now, so this tremendous schus that he had, that he's doing, that he's making sure to teach all the kids and in the right way, and that all of them should learn, and even the ones who don't want to learn, he gets them to learn. So that was his schus that now his tefillahs are answered right away. Another story, Rab Nachman Gozatan Nisa, Rab Nachman declared a fast because of rain. Bor Rachmi V'la'osim Mitra, he's davening for Rachmonas from Hashem, and rain is not falling. Omar, so Rab Nachman said, in that case, what do I need to be? I have no purpose in the world. Shaklua L'Nachman, you might as well take Nachman, meaning me, Chavutu min Gud La'ara, and throw him off, and then throw him off the wall onto the ground. In other words, what do I need to accomplish in the world anymore? Marsha actually explains what it means is Rab Nachman is saying Rab Nachman was the son of the Reish Galusa, the son-in-law, I mean, of the Reish Galusa, so now, which means he had a very high position. So he's saying if my tefillahs aren't being answered anyway, you might as well demote me, you might as well fire me from that position because I'm obviously not worthy of it. Ben Yoyada says also a vote is that he's saying there's like a wall separating our tefillahs from Hashem, and I was trying to scale that wall, and obviously, or I was trying to tear down that wall, and obviously it's not working, so you might as well throw me off that metaphorical wall. Cholosh Daite, so then from that made him feel bad, and then made him more tzibrachin, and also mitra and rain started falling. Another story, Rabba Gozatan Nisa, Rabba, or on the side here it says maybe Marsha says it should be Rava, one time declared a fast day, Veloy Osim Mitra, and rain didn't come. Omrule, so they asked him, why not? Vahor Rav Yehuda, if you have a Gozatan Nisa Osim Mitra, Rav Yehuda was able to bring rain when he would declare a tainis, so why don't you have that capability? Omrulehu, so Rabba or Rava tells them, my Evan, so what do you want me to do? I don't know why their tefillahs are stronger. Is it because they learned more Torah? Actually, it's the other way around. We, in our generation, are on a higher level of learning Torah than he was. Divishneid Rabbi Yehuda, because we find that in Rabbi Yehuda's times, Kol Tanuria ben Ezekin Haba, most of their learning was in Seder Nezikin. They mainly focused on Seder Nezikin, not so much on the other Sdarim. Ba'anan komasnisin b'shita Sidrin, whereas we in our times, Rava or Rabba is saying, we learn thoroughly all six Sdarim of Mishnayos. And when Rabbi Yehuda would get to the following Mishnah in the topic of Uktzin, it's not actually in Masechta Uktzin, it's actually a Mishnah in Masechta Taras, but it deals with a topic that's related to the concept of Uktzin. Namely, you have a concept in Halacha that we know that food can be makabel Truma and transmit Truma, of course. There's also a concept called Yodos that you have the stem, when we learned about it briefly in the Sefer Sukkah, for example, that a stem that's attached to the food, also a certain length of the stem, is also able to be makabel Truma and transmit Truma because it's considered part of the food. And you have rules about that, when the stem or the leaf or whatever is considered part of the food and when not. So when Rabbi Yehuda would reach the topic in Uktzin, which is actually, it's actually a Mishnah in Masechta Taras, you have a case over there of a woman who is pressing out vegetables in a pot because she wants to dry them out. And there are leaves attached to the vegetables. Are the leaves still considered to be part of the food or not? But Amrila, or others say that it was when Rabbi Yehuda reached a Mishnah, which is actually in Masechta Uktin, Zesim Shekovshen B'tarpeyan Tahorin, you have a case there where a person pickles olives together with their leaves, Tahorin, so we say that the leaves do not transmit Tumah, because the leaves are not considered Yodos anymore, because they're only there to make the olives look nice, they don't actually serve any functional purpose. Anyway, so Rabbi Yehuda, when he would learn such dinim, Omar, he would say, these are very difficult to understand. Havayas de Rabbi Shmuel kachazin ahocha. I see over here something that requires the depth of the analysis of Rav and Shmuel, who were his rebbeim. In other words, he's saying, I have a very hard time understanding these Mishnayos. But Rava or Rabba says, in our generation, v'anan komas nisin v'uktzin tlaisa mesivta. We have 13 mesivtas, 13 yeshivas, just in our city, that are learning Masechta Uktzin. And Marsha points out, even though Masechta Uktzin is the last Masechta of Mishnayos, like you'd say, you'd think that, you know, maybe are they really bothering to go that far? But still, not only they're going that far, but they have 13 different yeshivas that are doing that. Elsewhere, Rashi gives a different explanation, that it means we have 13 different types of learning. We learned this in Brachas as well. So we learned the Sugya in Brachas as well. Rashi explains over there, it means that we have different yeshivas that learn the Mishnayos of Uktzin and the Tesefta of Rabchia and the Tesefta of Bar Kappara and of Levi and so on and so forth. Anyway, so we are actually learning more than Rabbi Yehuda was, and yet the Ibur Rabbi Yehuda ki have a shalif chad masana osimitra. Yet we know that when Rabbi Yehuda would take off even one shoe to get ready for Tainus, then already osimitra rain would fall. Va'anan katzavchin and kula yoma. We are crying out the whole day for Hashem to have rachmanus, the lekha de ashkachman, and nobody's paying any attention to us. So it can't be because we're learning less Torah than we were. Adarabba, we're learning more Torah. And Rabba or Rava continues, V'imishum Uvda, if you're going to say that Rabbi Yehuda had greater mice in Tovim, and maybe I did something wrong, that therefore my tefillos are not being accepted, fine. E'ika d'chazamidi, if anybody has seen that I've done something wrong, lema, then please speak up and tell me. Avo my Yasu, Dole Ador, but he finishes off. What should the great people of the generation do? Shein Dodan Doima Yopa, that their generation does not appear good in Hashem's eyes. In other words, he's saying that it's not me or the other leaders of the generation personally, it's the generation in general, the Jews in general, are not acting right, and therefore rain is not coming. In particular, you have Rabba was the Rosh Hashiva. If we say that it was Rabba, then he was the Rosh Hashiva in Pumbedisa, and we find in a different Gemara that there were people that in Pumbedisa who were very dishonest. So, and in fact, the Gemara elsewhere mentions that Rabba used to regularly give them Musa, and they hated him for it. So he could be referring to them. If we say that it was Rava, then we had also previously that in Rava's city of Mechuzah, also they weren't such great people, and Rava, as we said before, that we learned before, and Dachabalat, that Rava's schus had to protect them from punishment by Hashem. So therefore, the point is, he's saying to the people, don't blame me, blame yourselves, because you're obviously not acting the way that Hashem wants you to. So what's the story involving Rabbi Yehuda, where we said that he took off one shoe? So Rabbi Yehuda chaza hanu beitrei. Rabbi Yehuda once time saw two people that have a kapalti berifta. They were being careless in the way they treated bread, like they're throwing it back and forth to each other as a game. Omar, so Rabbi Yehuda said, shmamina ika sava ba'alma. I see from that there must be tremendous, tremendous plentifulness in the world. So therefore, that's leading people to be careless about food. Yoiv ene, so Rabbi Yehuda put his eyes on them as peda. Have a kafna, and there became a famine. So now there's the opposite. Now nobody's going to be playing around with bread anymore because now there's a famine. Once there was a famine. Omrulei rabbanon l'Rav Kahana breid Rav Nechunya. So the Chachamim said to Rav Kahana breid Rav Nechunya, Shamei, who was Rav Yehuda's shamash. He said, Mar, you Rebbe, the Shchiach Kamei, who are regularly there in front of Rav Yehuda, he may not even realize what happened, that his peda had such serious consequences. Ne'asye, please, literally, Ne'asye means compel him, but obviously the shamash is not going to be compelling him. It means, in other words, make him, convince him, that he should go out, the next time he goes out of his house, to the Beis Medrash, he should go out the door that goes towards the marketplace. That way he'll notice there's a famine, and he'll know to daven for it. So, Asye, sort of, Kahana convinced him to go out that way, but not up the Shukah. So he went out to the marketplace, Chazaknufya, and he saw there was a large crowd of people, or a long line of people. Omalahu Maihai, so he asked, what's going on? What's everybody crowding around for? Omrulei, so they told him, Akuspa the Tamri Kain, to come as Daban. We're standing over here waiting online because somebody is selling Kuspa. Of dates. What's kuspa? Rashi says it can mean a small container of dates, or it can mean the waste of that's left over from dates after they make beer out of it. So whatever the case, the point is, in other words, that a very small amount, and still you have people lining up for it. Omar, so Rabbi Yehuda realized, Shmamina Kafna Ba'alma. That means there's a famine in the world, because otherwise, why would everybody be lining up to buy one little container like that? Or even, especially according to Rashi's second explanation, that kuspa means it's only the dregs of dates. So, Omale the Shame, so he says to his Shamash, Rav Kahana, Shloifli Nisonai, take off my shoes. So now, it's not a real tainis, Marshall points out. He didn't accept the tainis on himself from the day before, so he's doing it as an expression of tsar. Al-Derech, like we said before, that when the tzibur is in tsar, you have to be in tsar with them also. So he's going to, so up until now, he didn't know to be in tsar with them. Now he knows, so now he's going to take off his shoes and be uncomfortable. So Sholof like Chad Mesona, so the Shamash took off one shoe from Rav Yehuda, also Mitra, and right away rain started falling. And when the Shamash, when Rav Kahana was about to take off the other shoe, Osta Eliyahu, then Eliyahu Anavi came to speak to Rav Yehuda, Omalei, and he said to him, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Avishna says, don't eat Shalfas Achrina. If you take off the second shoe, Machrivna La'alma, then I'm going to destroy the world. In other words, there's going to be so much rain that it's going to flood every place. Which Marashah says, again, this is an example of that Rabbi Yehuda was being matriach a little too much on Hashem. First he's saying there should be a famine, now he's saying there should be rain. So therefore there was a bit of a kapeda on him min hashamayim, and therefore he's being told better not take off the other shoe, otherwise there's going to be too much of a kapeda, and there's going to be a rain that floods. So the Gemara continues the story. Amar of Mori brought Bas Shmuel, Rav Mori, who was the son of the daughter of Shmuel, and we mentioned before that he's called that because his father was actually a goy who raped his mother and then became a ger. Anyway, so he says, when this story happened, when Rabbi Yehuda took off his shoe and the rain started falling, I was standing by the banks of the river Papa. Chazori the Malachi, the Idmu the Malachi. I saw Malachim who looked like sailors. The Kamaisi Chala, they're taking sand from the riverbank. Umalunu la Arbi, and they're filling up ships with it. but have a kimcha de smida, and a nes was happening, and the sand is turning into flour. And then they're going and selling it. So also kula amal mizban. So everybody came to buy from this flour. But amalahu, but Rabbi Yehuda told the potential customers, meholot tizmanun, don't buy from that flour, demaisin nismu, because it was created by a nes. And again, like we said before, you're not supposed to have hana from maisin nism. It takes off from your schar in olam haba. And Rashi uses the expression of uvamed efshali srach maisin nism yosef tov v'nochen. The better, the more you're able to stay away from using maisin nism, the better it is. So don't buy from this flour. Lamocho, the next day, Asian Arbi Dechita de Parzina, the next day boats came full of wheat from Parzina, which is the name of a place. So therefore, so there was a more natural way in which the famine was over, that now there's plenty of food to buy, so they didn't need to rely on the Nissim after all. Okay. To be continued tomorrow, Beis Hashem.
Ayah Shikaya.
Back, everyone.